The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 12 to 16. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I'll seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I'll bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I'll feed my flock, and I'll make them lie down, says the Lord God. I'll seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, one of the titles which God claims for himself, undoubtedly, the Good Shepherd, is one of the most revealing and comforting for the Christian. The day on the church calendar on which this particular relationship between the risen Saviour and his people is emphasised is known as the Sunday of the Good Shepherd, which is, of course, today. It is also known as Misericordius Domini, which means the Lord's compassion. A real shepherd has love, concern and compassion for his sheep, and certainly sheep who sense his qualities in a shepherd will follow him wherever he leads them. Against the background of the Gospel and the Epistle for today, and on the basis of the words of our text, let us consider the compassionate love of our shepherd. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, the compassionate shepherd seeks the lost sheep. A sheep is perhaps the most helpless of all creatures when left to itself. It cannot find green pasture. It cannot, like the camel, scent water from afar. Nor can it find its way back home like a dog or a dove. It is not prepared to fight in self-defence, and in flight it is easy prey for the pack. This is a picture of man by nature. Separated from his Creator by sin, he too is helpless and hopeless. Left to himself, he will end up in hell and damnation. We read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The hymnist was right when he wrote, I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. I was a wayward child. I did not love my home. I did not love my father's voice. I loved afar to roam. But thanks be to God, the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, is not easily discouraged with our stubbornness and or depravity. Our text says, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so I'll seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. Jesus came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. When God saw mankind in its lost and wandering condition, he was moved with compassion. Compassion and love are the keynotes of God's personality and of all his impulses and activities toward us. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, Scripture tells us. It was this love and compassion that moved Jesus to leave his throne of glory and majesty and come into this world of sin and death. He redeemed them. A traveller in Europe once saw a carving of a lamb high up on a stone near the top of a church tower. He had seen such carvings of a lamb before, but never before in such a place. Asking for an explanation, he was told that in the days when the church was being built, one of the workmen lost his footing and fell from the scaffolding just when this particular stone was being laid. His fellow workmen hurried to the ground and were shocked to see the man standing there brushing the dust from his clothes. When asked to explain his miraculous escape from death, he stated that a flock of sheep was passing the church just when he fell. He had fallen into the midst of the flock, and pointing to a lamb at his feet, he said, "That lamb was crushed, but I live." The workman made a carving of lamb on that stone so that all would remember the miraculous escape of that workman. But more than that, it also points everyone to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In the Garden of Eden, sin started man on a fall that ends only in the bottom of hell. But Christ, our Good Shepherd, placed himself between man and the bottom of that fall. He was crushed so that you and I might live. He laid down his own life in order to give life, eternal life, to his sheep. Having paid the price for his sheep, he is now searching and seeking for them. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." Our compassionate shepherd's heart goes out to the multitudes of Gentiles who do not know God and are living and dying as heathens. He still seeks them through his church. And Jesus is still mindful of them today. Through his church on earth, he is still mediating the blessings gained for men on Calvary's Hill. He is still busy seeking and saving that which was lost. For this purpose, his church was born on earth, and for this cause, it is still in the world. All other aspects of its work are but secondary and complementary to this great purpose of searching and seeking the lost. This, above all else, must mark the ministry of the church in any community. Are we as mindful of this privilege and obligation as we should be? Do we share his compassion for the other sheep? Some of them live next door to us. Some of them are in regions beyond. Does our Christianity leap over the boundaries of nationality, colour and race? A city missionary was speaking to a group of criminals when he was interrupted with the question, "Do you really believe that a sinner who dies in his sins must suffer eternally in hell, while the sinner who accepts Christ shall have eternal joy in heaven?" "Yes," answered the missionary, "you have stated exactly what I believe." To this came the reply, "If I believe what you Christians say you believe, though I had neither hands nor feet, I would crawl across a continent on my bleeding stumps in order to tell poor sinners about Christ. But I don't believe that you Christians believe that either. You don't act like it." When the love which God has for souls becomes our love for them, then we will love souls with a willingness to spend and be spent for their sake. The gospel of the bleeding heart demands a ministry of bleeding hearts. He restores the strain. But this searching and seeking is to be done not only among the unregenerate. Our text says, "I'll seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away." We are also to search and seek out those who have been in the fold but are wandering away and are coming perilously close to the jagged cliffs of destruction. Unfortunately, many flocks have people failing in duty within them. There are many, many allurements in this world which can tempt sheep from the paths of the shepherd. We should be thankful that the good shepherd does not just let them go their own way to destruction. God impresses upon the necessity of being our brother's keeper. As congregations grow, people have a tendency to become more and more impersonal. It is so easy for one or the other to fall by the wayside unnoticed. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep, and every one of them is precious to him. We read in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." A drummer boy in the Poland's army lost his footing and slipped into a chasm in the Alps as the army was marching. He was not seriously hurt, but he was unable to lose himself without help. He began to beat on his drums to attract attention. His comrades heard him, but they could not break rank without orders from the commander. Such orders never came. The drummer boy finally began beating out his own death march. Hardened soldiers could not keep from sobbing as they passed by, but Napoleon was not moved. He was too busy conquering the world to remember an insignificant boy who had been clumsy enough to lose his footing. Thank God, Jesus is not like that. He does not forget the person who has lost his footing, nor the sheep that has gone astray. Our text says, I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloud and dark day. As Christians, we dare not forget the feeling that the individual does not count. We must be concerned about one another. Each one is his brother's keeper. We must, as followers of the compassionate Christ, have a spirit of concern, of love, and of helpfulness, because the individual does count. Remember, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Not only does our compassionate shepherd seek and deliver the lost and straying, but he also feeds and cares for them. And that is our second point. He feeds his flock. Our text continues, I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I'll feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. It is indeed comforting thought that our shepherd is not a mere human being, who himself might be bankrupt and helpless before the day is done. The Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation, is fully able to look after our needs, both temporal and spiritual. He knows his sheep. He understands our needs and our dangers. He knows all about our heart hungers and our sorrows. I'll feed them in good pasture. Pasture is essential for raising sheep. God provides food for the body and also for the soul. The green pasture which our good shepherd provides is first of all his word of truth. We read in Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 16, Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. The word of God is always fresh, never fading or failing. Sweet and full are its doctrines. Remember that the word of God is written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God breathed. And whenever his word is devoutly read, God still breathes through it into our souls. Another part of the good pasture is the holy sacraments. We stand at the table of our Lord and receive the blessed sacrament. We are partaking of the most intimate communion with him this side of heaven. When we bring our children to the baptismal font and apply the water that is comprehended with God's command and connected with his word, there once again the good shepherd is present to enter the heart of the child and to bring it into the kingdom of heaven. In his word and sacraments, God offers us the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. Through these, he imparts peace and rest for our souls. We Christians ought to feast and thrive on this bounteous fare. God also at times leads his sheep into pastures of trials and tribulations. This he does not to harm his sheep, but to strengthen and protect them. Often we are reluctant to enter these pastures, but if we always remember that ours is a good, wise and loving shepherd, we shall also realise that all pastures into which he leads us are good pastures, full of grace and truth. He heals his sheep. I'll bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. Faithful shepherds have been known to draw with their own mouth a serpent's poison from the sheep and thus save them. We too have been bitten by soul-destroying sin, but the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. At times we become severely torn and bruised by Satan and sin, But our good shepherd binds up the wounds and heals our diseases. With his stripes we are healed. He comforts and strengthens his sheep. There are times when cloudy and dark days come to the sheep. This may be the times that we stray from the fold or lose our way. We read in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." The cloudy and dark days may also be the times when we faint by the wayside. We lose heart and become discouraged. It is then that the Good Shepherd comes and speaks comforting words to our hearts and cheers our souls again. Such days came to Mary Magdalene when they laid the body of our Lord away in the tomb. They became even darker when she thought the enemies had stolen the body. But suddenly and unknown to her, the risen Saviour, the Good Shepherd, stood beside her and with wisdom and love healed her wounded heart and brought joy and comfort and strength to one of his own. Again, the cloudy and dark days were there for Simon Peter, after he had shamefully denied his Lord in the courtyard. Oh, how he quavered before the questions and the ridicule of a mere comment of a girl. How he had gone out into the night and wept bitterly, with a broken and contrite heart. How he yearned for another chance to prove his love and loyalty to his Lord. Then came the early dawn breakfast on the seashore with Jesus and his disciples. And it was not long before the Good Shepherd gently and firmly led his wayward and fallen sheep back to the fold. "Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Our text says, "I'll feed my flock and I'll make them lie down," says the Lord God. First the soul is restored, then it can lie down in the pasture, in God's pasture. First Peter confesses his sin, repents and believes, and then he is commissioned to feed the lambs and the sheep. First, the restored soul, then the paths of righteousness. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture." And that is God's prescribed order, in and out. In for faith, out for service. In to know the will of God, out to do the will of God. In to know Christ, and out to make him known to others. Followers of the Good Shepherd will also be compassionate. As Jesus, the Good Shepherd, cares for his sheep, so he expects the same of those who claim to be his followers. The servant is not above his master. Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you." We are to be anxious not only in the winning of new souls for the kingdom, but also in conserving and strengthening those who are in the fold. Love, compassion and understanding are the jewels which should be shimmering in the crown of every Christian congregation. The children of the world could not help exclaiming, the early Christians, how these Christians loved one another. Does the world say that of us today? Do we really love the lambs in the fold of Jesus? What are we doing to nurture them in the Word of God? Do we break the bread of life in our own family circles? Do we make it a point to see it, that our children have the best possible opportunities to grow in grace and knowledge in our congregation? And what about our youth? Do we give them the concern and the opportunity to grow in grace and stature before God and man? Are we shepherding our youth as the Good Shepherd expects us, or are we letting them fare for themselves? When cloudy and dark days of sickness or sorrow or grief or disappointment overcome one of us, do the others in our midst comfort and assist wherever possible? Are we mindful of one another's infirmities and troubles? When calamity strikes a family in our community or our church, are we equipped as Christians to step in and give a helping hand? Or are we growing more and more personal in our relationship with God's fold? Do we depend on local organisations to do what we ought to be doing ourselves? Are we gradually becoming unmindful of Jesus' words written in Matthew chapter 5, verse 40? "Assuredly, I say to you, Inasmuch as you did it to one of these, the least of my brethren, you did it to me. It is a picture of the judgment when the truth of things is laid bare, all turns to one thing, compassion. On this Good Shepherd Sunday, let us remember that our Lord has a compassionate heart and he expects those who are his followers to have the same. May God so help us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.